it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Welcome to this episode of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. Firstly, a follow-up from last week's program. You'll remember we spoke with Martin Stewart about whether or not guards will be retained on New South Wales trains. Well, there was some good news on that front. He joins me now to follow up. Martin, firstly, on behalf of Blind Citizens Australia, congratulations on being named Blind Australian of the Year.
Thank you. A real privilege and honour to have this role, and I intend to use this position to influence more matters and open some more doors, because that's the only way to make a difference.
And I have to say, it's extremely well-deserved in light of recent publicity. The decision was made yesterday regarding the New South Wales trains. We talked about this on the program last week. Just give us an idea of just what happened.
Well, I came to Sydney on the Saturday night and rolled up the sleeves straight away and started the negotiating process. It was myself and the Rail, Tram and Bus Union, New South Wales. The sticking point was the use of the word guard. The original publicity was not using that word. I wasn't satisfied with that because I knew that meant a transition to other roles which would take the focus off safety. So I was determined to get that word, train guards, into the text. By Monday morning, that still wasn't happening. So I had a direct face-to-face meeting with the minister, and I just put it straight down. I said, I'm not happy with the fact that you're not using the term guard, so I want you to come out with me and say to New South Wales that their train guards will be there and will remain there. And I just waited for his answer. This is after telling him my story about the impact upon me that our community is very aware of when guards were taken away in Victoria. And he said, yes, I will. He said, if you've come from Melbourne with this story in this way, I'm coming out with you. And I reached over, shook his hand really firmly. There was a clear bond that developed, an understanding of purpose. And we went out there. And the rest is history. It's a remarkable, monumental turnaround. The media is saying that. He actually said that the way that things were put to him at that morning meeting cemented the deal. That was his words. And he turned to me during the press conference, which was a joint conference, and said, Martin, we are going to keep train guards. So we can celebrate.
That's really good news. And, you know, it's very clear that the work that you've done on behalf of blind and vision impaired travellers and all travellers on Melbourne trains and Sydney trains is really paying off. So a big congratulations to you for all your work on this area. Where to next?
Well, I'm having a purple patch, that's for sure. There's no doubt about it. A few things have been happening. But where to next is Victoria. I want the guards to be returned, and I'm having several meetings in the next few weeks to set that up before I go to hospital. But then when I come out, I'll come out strong and I'll come out determined to get the guards back. And I can tell you I've got a lot of support in very influential places to get this going.
That's excellent news, and I think you should absolutely be 100% proud of yourself. And it comes back to just one of the reasons why you were named Blind Australian of the Year. Martin Stewart, congratulations, and thanks once again for coming on the program.
It's in the name of all of our health and safety and security, and I'm determined to see that nothing like what happened to me happens to any of us again. Thank you.
Martin Stewart there with that very good news for New South Wales commuters and, in fact, anybody visiting Sydney. Quite frequently on this program, we speak with Jonathan Craig, the editor of Blind Citizens News. We've not yet spoken to him about this particular issue of Blind Citizens News. It came out about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Let's hear from him now. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Firstly, it's been a few weeks now since the latest release of Blind Citizens News. What's the take-up been like in the community, and what are people's perceptions?
Well, everybody seems to be receiving the latest edition very well, and I've got a lot of really positive feedback from the last two issues. And I guess that leads me to a really exciting announcement that I have, which is that from 2019, Blind Citizens News will be becoming quarterly again. And that is really because of the enthusiasm of the readership, and of course also because of the great contribution from our writers. So I'm really excited to be able to bring more of Blind Citizens News next year.
This is your second issue. We talked last time about your enthusiasm for Blind Citizens News and where you felt that that you would take the magazine. Has that changed, and what's your view for the future?
I'm incredibly excited about the future for Blind Citizens News, and there's a lot already in the pipeline for not just the first issue of 2019, but other issues going forward from that. My view about what Blind Citizens News can be hasn't changed a great deal, but in fact, I've had some of my ideas confirmed. One of the things that I've been thinking about with some amusement is that everything I would have used to back up the points I made in my editorial appeared just after it was released. For example, in my editorial, I talked about what I see as one of the great communication challenges that we now face, which is the lack of awareness in the community about what it's like to live on a daily basis as a person who's blind and vision impaired. Now, some research just came out from RNIB, which says that, as I suspected, the greatest barrier to the daily living of people who are blind and vision impaired is actually lack of awareness. And a poll of the public, also conducted by RNIB, backed this up, suggesting that 50% of people who lack awareness of people who are blind and vision impaired believe that a person who is blind or vision impaired could not actually hold down a job.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? The percentage of people who are unemployed is really quite staggering, somewhere between 70 and 80%, depending on what statistic you believe. But certainly the concept that a blind or vision impaired person can't hold down a job is completely ridiculous.
Yes, and that's we actually approached this issue in this issue of Blind Citizens News with an article from Ricky Chaplin, which talks about BCA's recently installed telephone system. And Ricky writes very perceptively about the way in which barriers to employment often come from inaccessible technology, but how showing and demonstrating that this technology can be accessible is a real step in the right direction.
Yeah, we spoke to Ricky about that a couple of weeks ago, and he went through with us how the phone system worked, and it was a huge improvement from his point of view, explaining that he was able to use his computer to answer the telephone as well as using his screen reader, which was a great benefit to him as a person with a hearing impairment, but also to people working in call centres and other types of industries where answering telephone calls is an extremely important part of their job, and how accessible that can be. So it's important that we make sure that other businesses and potential employers are aware of the fact that technology can be made accessible if we just work at it.
This is the challenge, is to market the fact that these technologies exist that can make people who are blind and vision impaired as employable as people with sight. And that's just one aspect of some of the things that I hope to work through in future editions of Blind Citizens News. The challenge of explaining to people who lack awareness of these issues that people who are blind and vision impaired live very similarly to people with sight. We look on Facebook, we watch movies, we watch TV, everything that we do is very equivalent to that which everyone else does. And I often wonder what they think our lives are like. what they think we do every day.
It would be fascinating to hear from a sighted person who has had no experience with a blind or vision impaired person, just to find out what their perception is. But one of the things that that we frequently do as blind and vision impaired people, of course, Jonathan, especially owing to the fact that we don't drive, is catch public transport. You featured an article about Martin Stewart.
Yes, Martin Stewart was recently instrumental in a consultation process in Victoria to improve the delivery of high-capacity trains, which will be rolling out next year. And as part of that consultation process, Martin discovered four critical flaws in the prototype train that he visited, the largest and most significant of which was gaps between each carriage, which could be incredibly dangerous. Martin himself, of course, was subject to that danger when he assumed that a gap was a doorway and stepped between two carriages in 2002, and as a result of that, lost an arm and a leg. And Martin spoke very eloquently to me about how much he felt this consultation process was an opportunity to give meaning to that trauma that he suffered and to really find absolution for himself and his family by making sure that this never happened again.
Perhaps you could go through what else is in the magazine in this particular issue.
So also in this issue, we have a letter from the editor, which talks about an incident on a train where a woman overheard a conversation which was very disparaging toward people who are blind and vision impaired. We also have reports from the CEO and the National Policy Council, some interesting announcements from our women's branch, as well as some information about next year's national convention, some information about the New South Wales ACT State Convention, and Joanna Dorinovo provides some very interesting thoughts on the rationale behind the convention, which I'd really encourage you to read whether or not you have registered.
Now, I gather from what you've said, Jonathan, that the next issue will come out in early 2019. What are you looking for in particular?
We are looking for submissions, including letters to the editor, which you can see an example of in this issue, and personal reflections on some of the issues that we have covered in both this issue and the last. I'm really keen for Blind Citizens News to feature a conversation really about communication, particularly as well the way technology is changing our communication. As well as tips for our regular life hacks column, which provides information about ways of getting around the problems that people who are blind and vision impaired face every day. And I'm really excited to see what comes out of this, because I think that Blind Citizens Australia has three generations, really, of wisdom collected amongst its members. And I'd really like to facilitate the sharing of that wisdom through the Life Hacks column.
Well, I wish you luck with the compilation of the next issue, and thanks once again for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much.
Jonathan Craig there, the editor of Blind Citizens News, the soon-to-be quarterly news magazine from Blind Citizens Australia. If you want more up-to-date news about Blind Citizens Australia, have a look at the website, www.bca.org.au. It'll not only tell you about what BCA is up to and about issues affecting blind and vision impaired people in this country, it will also give you some ideas as to how you might donate to the organisation to keep it moving and to keep the good advocacy such as that which we heard about from Martin Stewart previously alive. If you'd like to contact BCA, you can email bca@bca.org.au. That's bca@bca.org.au, or you can call them on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. You can subscribe, if you wish, to the New Horizons podcast. Just point your podcatcher to blindcitizens.podbean.com. That's blindcitizens.podbean, podbean.com/feed. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company for the last 15 minutes or so. Talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.